very nice to see you. You're all very welcome on this beautiful morning. And our service today is morning prayer. There's just a couple of notices I'm going to rattle through. This week is Bishop's Bible Week from Tuesday until Friday. And it's at 7:45 just down the road in Willowfield. On Wednesday, we have got our language classes for Ukrainian people, our families who are with us and their friends. We also have Pilates on 7 p.m. on Wednesday, so that's good for your posture. I'm looking around and I'm thinking, well, a couple of you could use some Pilates. Chin up. So that's for you on Wednesdays. And communion, 10:30 on Wednesday morning. Prayer meeting at 7 p.m. on Zoom on Thursday, and we'll keep that tight so people can go to the Bishop's Bible Week straight afterwards. And finally, magazines are ready to be delivered. So those of you who do their delivering, if you could pick them up before you go home today. The theme of today's service is that it's thinking about how we can experience joy and thankfulness even when our circumstances are difficult. And that's an important thing to be thinking about and praying about today. Let's open our worship as we sing together, Angel Voices Ever Singing. Beloved in Christ, we have come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our psalm today is Psalm 81. Let's stand and say the psalm together. Sing merrily to God.
Sing merrily to God our strength. Shout for joy to the God of Jacob. I am the Lord your God, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I shall fill it. But my people would not hear my voice, and Israel would not obey me. So I sent them away in the stubbornness of their hearts, and let them walk after their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. Then I should soon put down their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. Those who hate the Lord would be humbled before him. Their punishment would last forever. But Israel would I feed with the finest wheat, and with the honey from the rock I would satisfy them. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever.
Amen. Please take your seats for the reading.
The Old Testament lesson is written in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61, beginning at verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks.
Our next hymn, which we will sing through twice, is Jubilate.
Thank you.
please take your seats for the reading.
The New Testament lesson is written in the first letter of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, beginning at verse 16. Be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's stand together now and share the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe.
I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. A special prayer for today, the 11th Sunday after Trinity. O God, you declare your mighty power, most chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Mercifully grant to us such a measure of your grace that we, running the way of your commandments, may receive your gracious promises and be made partakers of your heavenly treasure through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things guide us to know and do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us, that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's sing together. Speak, O Lord.
Thank you.
God, help us to listen to your word with understanding, to receive it with faith, and to obey it with courage, for Christ's sake. Amen. Many years ago, when I was at college, there was a strong Christian movement in our year. To be honest, I wasn't really involved in it, not because I wasn't a Christian, but because I found it quite narrow and a bit sanctimonious. For example, on one occasion, I remember a fellow student who developed a particular health issue. I sympathized with her, only to be told that everything was absolutely all right because it was all part of God's will. Everything would be fine. Nothing could go wrong. Now, I felt quite annoyed with that response, partly, of course, because it was a put-down, but also because it seemed that God was being used to shield this student from the real world, and I felt uncomfortable with that. Yet this is exactly how God is often viewed, and not only by the young. A common view is that if you're a Christian, God is on your side. And as long as you obey all the rules and dance to the right tune, nothing bad will ever happen to you. Being a Christian is regarded as some kind of divine insurance policy. Well, you only have to look around the world to soon realize that this is nonsense. But because there is a grain of truth in it, it's a point of view that is commonly held. The problem with it is that as soon as something goes drastically wrong, God gets the blame and faith disappears. After all, you soon ditch insurance policies that don't work. You expect a payout when disaster strikes, and if that doesn't happen, why bother? But the grain of truth in all of this is that God is on our side and does look out for us. But it's a distortion to believe that, therefore, nothing bad will ever happen. The fact is, bad things happen to Christians just as they happen to all human beings. For life is full of good things and bad things, and we are all privileged to experience both. The difference for Christians is that Christians are aware of God in there with them. They are aware of God supporting and encouraging and strengthening them and bringing resurrection out of crucifixion. I therefore have some difficulty with the theology of this morning's New Testament reading from the first letter to the Thessalonians, which exhorts Christians to be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. Be joyful always. Give thanks in all circumstances. Does this mean, for example, that Christians should never feel depressed? Or at least never allow it to show if they do feel depressed? You know, that sounds so hypocritical. And the one sin Jesus denounced again and again was hypocrisy, putting on a facade and pretending to be something you're not. You'll remember he had harsh words for the Pharisees, precisely because he regarded them as hypocrites. They may have had a huge outward show of religion, but nothing came from the heart. Now, about 20 years later, we have St. Paul in his first letter to the Thessalonians, seemingly exhorting them to hypocrisy. For who can possibly be joyful always or give thanks in all circumstances? On the other hand, things hadn't been exactly joyful in Thessalonica for St. Paul. He had met huge hostility from both Jews and Gentiles, and he had been chased out of Thessalonica after only about 3 weeks. Even when he withdrew inland a few miles, he was still pursued and harassed by enemies from Thessalonica. So if he could be joyful under those circumstances, perhaps it is possible for Christians to be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. So what should we do? Should we develop a sort of martyr complex, which says something like, look at poor old me, here I am in such pain and struggling along, but I'm determined to wear a big smile and make you all think I'm happy? Or is there some other way that is expected of Christians? I don't know that I've ever met anyone who was genuinely able to be joyful always, to pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstances. It just doesn't sound human, does it? Although it does sound saintly. Perhaps those who are so close to God that God fills their inner being really are able to be joyful always, to pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstances. The rest of us are bound to have off days once in a while. And according to our personalities, some of us will have off days more than others. But what all of us have underneath the occasional misery or depression are the everlasting arms holding us tight, supporting us, strengthening us. And we all have the peace that passes understanding deep within our hearts. None of that ever disappears. Why? Because it depends on God rather than on us. So even when circumstances are far from joyful, that deep peace is constantly and continuously present. It's also true that God is able to take every situation, however awful it might be, and redeem it for us. God can pull resurrection out of the direst crucifixion. So if we're able to allow him control over our lives, he will use our bad times to our eventual advantage, even though it may not feel like it at the time. Many a bereaved Christian may take a year, 2 years, or indeed more, to deal with a close bereavement. But when they are eventually able to look back, they can often see that they're a different person through that experience of bereavement. I know I can testify to that personally. They may be stronger. They may be more compassionate, more patient, and so on. Through the dreadful and traumatic experience of bereavement, the fruit of the Spirit often has a spurt of growth. Now, obviously, this is more likely to happen in those who are able to stay close to God. And anyone who stays close to God is probably praying continually, whether they know it or not. They may not be continually speaking to God, but as you know, very often a comfortable silence develops with those to whom you are close. A comfortable silence. And those who are close to God carry him with them in their hearts the whole time. So much so that there's no place where God is absent from them, even though, again, they may not be consciously aware of his presence all the time. Be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. Yes, it is possible for Christians, but it can't be forced or pretended. If you're feeling utterly miserable, it's much better to be utterly miserable than to pretend that you're happy. You see, when you are at your lowest ebb, God can reach you. But if you shore yourself up with all sorts of happy faces all the time, it's much more difficult for God to break through your defenses. This is why Jesus condemned hypocrisy so roundly, and why he insisted on people being themselves, no matter how bad that self was. It was much easier for him to reach the inner being of those who were at rock bottom because they had no defenses. And on the whole, those who were at rock bottom and had no defenses were those outside society, the unclean, the lepers, the prostitutes, the thieves, the tax collectors, and so on. Just occasionally, the rest of us reach that state of being at rock bottom, but it is usually as a result of some awful trauma. So the next time you find yourself in some terrible, traumatic situation, start by being real, by acknowledging how awful it is, and then allowing God to hold you and support you. That way you'll discover that without consciously doing anything, you're well on the way to being joyful always, praying continually, and giving thanks in all circumstances. Let us pray. Lord God, you tell us in your word to be joyful always. We pray for that inward happiness and serenity which comes from living close to you. Renew in us each day that sense of joy, and let your Spirit dwell in our souls and bodies, filling every corner of our hearts with light and grace. Lord God, you tell us to pray continually. Help us to lay our lives before you, the bad as well as the good, the doubt as well as the faith, and in so doing, discover the renewing love that only you can offer. Lord God, you tell us to give thanks in all circumstances. Help us to understand that whatever we may face in life, you will guide and guard us, that nothing can separate us from your love. And in that knowledge, may we meet you each new day with trust and thanksgiving. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, we pray for our world and the problems faced by so many of your children. We pray for all who live under the threat of war and terrorism, and the poverty which comes in its wake. Govern the hearts and minds of all world leaders and those in authority, that they may act justly, honestly, and according to your will. And we especially ask you to hear our prayers for the people of Ukraine, now 6 months since the war began. We ask for comfort for all who don't know what tomorrow will bring, and for the vast number who are now refugees. We cry out for an end to this crisis, for mercy, peace, and truth, because you are light, hope, power, and love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord God, we pray for those in any kind of need. We pray especially for those who are finding life painful or difficult right now. Those who, because of the rising cost of living, are dependent on food banks to feed their families. And those who are struggling to pay energy bills. Show us and our church community what we can do to meet some of these needs. And we take a quiet moment to bring before you those of our friends and families who are ill at this time, either at home or in hospital, and those who have been bereaved in recent days. In particular, we remember the family of Eileen Bell. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Finally, we join our prayers together in the words Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let's continue in this vein of thought about thankfulness through all circumstances, as we sing together, "Now thank we all our God."
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning for morning prayer. And to those who have been joining us at home online, it's always lovely to spend this time with you. We know that you're with us through these morning and these morning services. Can I make a suggestion for this week? There's been, Gillian gave us a lot to think about, a lot of good things to think about this week. And my suggestion would be maybe Tuesday or Wednesday, look up this morning's service on YouTube and fast forward past all this bit. Go to the readings. You'll hear Gillian read the text again. And fast forward to her talk and give yourself a bit of time to let it sink in again. And if it raises any questions or anything you want to talk about further, you can always contact us. You're always more than welcome. So let's close with a blessing prayer. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and always. Let's close our service by singing together, "The Lord is King." Lift up your voice.